Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
This is episode 383. Welcome back to the program. We've got a couple great papers this week, some exciting news, and speaking of news, Masonic Week is going on right now. I guess this is this weekend. I never make it out to Masonic Week. I just don't have a lot that I'm able to do there. However, there are a ton of Masonic scholars and friends of mine that attend. Of course, Jason Richards, John Ruark, Brother Joe Martinez, Mike Hambricht is out there as well. You've been seeing Art DeHoyos post pictures, I'm sure, on social media. Just a slew of great folks out there for that event. So if you're out at Masonic Week, maybe on your listen on the way home from Masonic Week or just on your normal commute, if you attended, let us know how it was. Make sure you post your pictures and inform the rest of us what a good time it was and key us in on some of the highlights of the Masonic Week.
Hello, Whence Came You fans. This is Brother Joe Martinez from Manassas, Virginia. Your illustrious host, Brother Robert Johnson, has allowed me to take a few seconds of his program to remind you about our very special event, the inaugural Mid-Atlantic Esotericon, which will be held on June 15, 2019, at Manassas Lodge No. 182 in Manassas, Virginia. This all-day event will include both tiled and untiled presentations from many of your favorite esoteric authors and speakers, to include John T. Ruark, Frater O., Greg Kaminsky, P.D. Newman, Pierce Vaughn, Jamie Lamb, Don McAndrews, and your very own Robert Johnson. Vendors will include the ever-popular Masonic Revival and Ascended Masters clothing. Lunch will be catered, with coffee and snacks available throughout the entire day. Tickets have been selling quickly, and we do have a limited seating capacity, so do not miss out. The Brew Night on June 14th is already sold out, and tickets for the event will be sold until we run out, or April 15th, 2019, whichever comes first. For more information, visit us on Facebook at facebook.com/MAEsotericon. Or to purchase tickets, please visit tinyurl.com/MAEsotericon. Or search eventbrite.com for Mid-Atlantic Esotericon. If you're looking for a more introspective, thought-provoking, and deeply engaging way to start your summer, look no further than the Mid-Atlantic Esotericon. Again, tickets are going very quickly, so get yours today. And as always, thank you to my dear brother, Robert Johnson, for this time to promote what will certainly be an event to remember.
All right, so I hope you guys all come out to check out the Esotericon. It's right around the corner, you guys. I'm really excited about it, and, you know, I've kind of had some interesting dreams recently in which it was almost as if to say it's the right time to release some of the information that I'm going to put out in this presentation when I go to this Esotericon, and I'm kind of excited about that. I think I've had some apprehension about it, and finally somehow my subconscious has said, it's cool. It'll be well received. So I'm hoping that's true. But on to the big news. The big news, of course, is I alluded to several new projects that we're going to be coming out with soon. And some of these projects are one and done's. And this is kind of on that same level. It's kind of one and done, but requires regular maintenance. So I launched a new website called Masonic Instruction Speakers Association. What is this? So this is not a formal speakers association of any kind. There's no anything that ties anybody together on this page. But what I've managed to do is to convince the best speakers that I know. I've asked many to participate, and I've got great responses. What this is, you can go right now to MasonicInstruction.com. And what we really want to do here is enable guys who have done some really groundbreaking, premier, entertaining presentations and put their information out there for you, anybody listening, for the lodges out there to get somebody to bring in for a talk. So if you wanted, for instance, to get a hold of Steve Harrison, well, you can click on his photo right here on the website, and it'll give you a short Masonic biography, kind of some things he's into. You can read about his prepared topics that he's ready to deliver right now, and you can see his travel information, like what does it cost to get him out there. For instance, Steve says that he'll travel anywhere if travel expenses are covered. And then it's got their website there. And then, of course, the most important part is a direct link to email them right there, straight to their personal email that they've set up for this. I don't see it. Only they get it. And this just is one way that will allow lodges out there who want to get some new education in, or maybe they want to just have a special speaker come in. These guys, I can personally attest to, all are amazing guys that have asked, and we've got a really great response. So we've got Steve Harrison, Mike Pohl is here, Nathan Tweedy, Joe Wages, P.D. Newman, Bill Hosler, Jamie Paul Lamb, Juan Sepulveda, Alex Powers, John Ruark, Jason Richards, Scott Duvall, and myself are all here on this website. And you don't have to go here to book these guys. This is just a convenient place to house the names and bios and prepare topics that these guys have. So I would urge you to check that out. Go to MasonicInstruction.com and click around. Take a look at it and contact somebody to come out and do a talk at your lodge. So that's my big surprise this week for everybody. I think Bill shared it a little while earlier this month when I was still working on it. But we are going to be continually building this out. It will have more and more speakers as guys accept the invitation and send me the information so I could put it up for them. And that's it. I hope you guys really enjoy it. The first piece I have for you this week is called The Altar in Freemasonry by Dr. Watson Boys. Quote, "The Lord must surely be in this place, and I did not know it," end quote, said Jacob of old when he awoke from his sleep in which he envisioned the ladder set up from earth to heaven. Following this startling revelation, he took the stone he had used for a pillow and set it up as an altar to God. Quote, "This can be nothing other than the home of God," end quote. The stone became an altar. The altar was a witness of God's presence. To Jacob, it became a place of sacrifice, obligation, and fellowship. Man constantly finds God in his everyday experiences, and in the spirit of Jacob, has set up his altars as the trusting place with his God. It has mattered little how crude and cumbersome his altar, or how ornate and magnificent. The fundamental fact remains man constantly seeks after and holds communion and fellowship with his God. An altar can be described as a structure elevated above the level of the ground and appropriated to some type of service connected with worship, such as offerings of oblations, sacrifices, or prayers. An altar can be as temporary as Jacob's or as permanent as the great altar of Solomon's temple. In both cases, the altar not only acknowledges man's longing for divine power, but it witnesses the divine unfolding itself to man. The story of the altar in the life of man is an unfolding epic of men's determination to know God. The story presents the fundamental fact that the altar is always found at the center of human society. Because of this, life and religion revolve around the altar. God is at the center of things. Man is made conscious of this when he stands before the altar. Freemasonry has its altars. Because of this, she does not usurp the place of the church or organized religion in the life of man. She supplements the church and its work. The enemies of Freemasonry have accused her of being irreligious. But how can any body of men be irreligious with an altar placed at the center of their thinking? True, Freemasonry is not a religion. But it is religious, and because of this, she symbolically places her altars in the center of her lodges, and therefore of her life. As the altar of Freemasonry stands at the center of her lodges, so she acknowledges that God, the supreme architect of the universe, stands at the center of the source of life, strength, and power. To Freemasons, the altar is something more than a mere pedestal on which to place the book of Holy Scriptures. As the initiate kneels before it, the altar becomes at once a place of sacrifice, obligation, and fellowship. As a place of sacrifice, the altar becomes a revelation of himself. As a place of obligation, a vision of mankind. And as a place of fellowship, a source of power, the meeting place of the supreme architect with his craftsmen. Freemasonry teaches its philosophy and way of life by means of symbols. The altar thus becomes a symbol. It symbolically brings the initiate to the Supreme Architect. The first object a candidate sees in the lodge is its altar with the Book of Holy Scriptures, square and compasses upon it. He sees the very heart of Freemasonry before him, speaking strongly of the Supreme Architect. The altar first turns the initiate's thoughts upon himself, that his heart might be taught to conceive. He sees himself as he is, a dweller in darkness. In the Book of Holy Scriptures, we read of the prophet Isaiah, as he saw the vision, splendid before the altar in the temple. He cried out, quote, "Ah me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, Lord of the hosts," end quote. Here is the candidate's vision of himself, lost, fettered by passions and the works of darkness. But Isaiah goes on to say, quote, "Then flew one of the seraphs to me, with a red-hot stone in his hand, which he had taken from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it, and said, 'See, this has touched your lips, and your guilt is removed, and your sins forgiven.'" End quote. The candidate rises from before the altar, symbolically a new man, his past sacrificed upon the altar. He has emerged from the darkness into the light. The altar is first an altar of sacrifice and deals with the individual. The altar of sacrifice also becomes an altar of obligation. The darkness dissolves and the light streams in. What does he see? He sees symbolically the far-reaching aims of Freemasonry, a vision of mankind as it should be. He learns the tenets of a Mason's profession. He acquires a new meaning for brotherly love. It is worldwide. The altar symbolically points out that the genius of Freemasonry unites men of every country, sect, and opinion, and conciliates true friendship among those who might have otherwise remained at a perpetual distance. It looks forward to a league of Masons, where the peoples of the world, irrespective of nationality, color, or creed, are to be regarded as one family. It stresses his relationship with his neighbor and shows him that the relief of the distressed is a duty incumbent on all men. It further shows that underlying this world vision of action, love, and charity, there must always be found the divine attribute of truth. The altar of Freemasonry as a place of obligation links the individual to the whole of mankind. Again, the altar of sacrifice and obligation becomes an altar of fellowship. As such, it links the individual Mason to the Supreme Architect of the universe as well as to his fellow craftsmen. In this relationship, it is of twofold importance. We meet our fellow members at lodge, we shake their hands, sit with them, talk with them, enter into the ritual work of the degrees with them, we fellowship with them, and, as we do, the altar stands as silent witness of the presence of the Supreme Architect. It brings home the words of the Master of Men, "Thou shalt love the Lord, thy God, and thy neighbor as thyself." The altar is a witness of the two fundamental bases of Freemasonry and religion in general. The altar as a place of fellowship symbolically places the individual in a right relationship with his fellow craftsmen. The Master of Men once said, quote, "So when you are presenting your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother has any grievance against you, leave your gift right there before the altar and go and make up with your brother. Then come back and present your gift." End quote. The altar of fellowship becomes also the altar of reconciliation. In Carl H. Clotty's plays, A Rose Upon the Altar, the squire is at odds with himself, his lodge members, and the world in general. He has cast out his daughter because she married the man of her choice. His stubborn heart will not allow him to call her home, although it bleeds to forgive her. In his agony, he enters the lodge hall at midnight and kneels at the altar of Freemasonry. He prays, "Great Architect of the universe, I cannot go to church and pray, but I am a Mason. In a lodge I can pray. O God, have mercy upon me. I want my daughter back." End quote. This experience of fellowship and communion at the altar ultimately brought his daughter back with the assistance of his fellow lodge members. At his lodge altar, he not only found the source of divine power and comfort, but the helping hand of fellowship on the part of his fellow craftsmen. Through its twofold mission, he became reconciled in heart to his daughter, his fellows, and to the world at large. George Herbert writes his thoughts about the altar in the following words, "A broken altar, Lord, thy servant rears, made of a heart and cemented with tears, whose parts are as thy hand did frame, no workman's tool hath touched the same. A heart alone is such a stone, as nothing but thy power doth cut. Wherefore each part, if my hard heart meets in this frame to praise thy name, that if I chance to hold my peace, these stones to praise, thee may not cease. O, let thy blessed sacrifice be mine, and sanctify this altar to be thine. The Whence Came You podcast is brought to you through the generous support of Masonic Revival, contemporary Masonic designs made for today's Freemason. You don't have to settle for throwing a plain old square and compass on anything anymore. Now you get something truly designed and truly wonderful. Whether it's aprons, awesome pins, and wonderful neckwear, bow ties, ties, pocket squares, you name it, Masonic Revival has it. Head on over to MasonicRevival.com and check out what they have to offer. If you use promo code WCY at checkout, that means free shipping also. And make sure if you see Brother Edgar, tell him thanks for helping bring this program to all of you. And this program is also brought to you by all of you, those of you who support this program. We can't do it without you and your donations and all of your assistance, so thank you so much. To find out more about how you can assist this program, head on over to WCYpodcast.com and click on Support the Show. There you can make direct donations, sign up to be a monthly contributor, a fellow, or even a producer. And thanks very much to everybody for donating.
We, as Freemasons, require a belief in a supreme being as a prerequisite for membership. We do not, however, specify how that belief manifests itself to each individual brother. We welcome men of all faiths, a genuine act of tolerance in a world that is better at preaching than practicing it. Phillips Lord, an American actor and writer, put it succinctly when he said, "You go to your church, and I'll go to mine, but let's walk along together." I found this little poem, author unknown, that expresses this thought in a very nice way. It's called 10,000 Paths. 10,000 paths may lead to God. What right is mine to say that he who fails to walk with me has missed the only way? What right of mine to arrogate such grasp of finite mind and boast while others vainly seek the God I seek and find? How could the God I love and trust point out to only me the way which travel all men must or die eternally? I'm not so wise that he denies the light to all save me, while other hearts, as true as mine, he loves with less degree. So if the path we tread should lead where bright cathedrals rise, or weathered church or rustic shrine point upwards to the skies, each sincere traveler will arrive where lights of welcome shine, and myriads will be there who walked a different path than mine. May that one God bless you all, brothers. For the Whence Came You podcast, this is Steve Harrison with the Masonic Minute.
The next piece I have for you is called Reruns by Midnight Freemason guest contributor, Right Worshipful Dan Lort. In a recent short essay, I expounded on the word convenient, as it relates to our duty and obligation of heading out on any particular evening to attend a lodge meeting. What drives us to go, or what holds us back, one might ask. Perhaps at the core of what makes a lodge thrive, or what contributes to their slow and deliberate death, we should look at why our brothers are staying home. Why are they resisting their duty to answer and obey a regular summons to a meeting? Could it be that outside of the wonderful degree work and ritual that we've become boring? Is every meeting a rerun of the last one? Every day we witness consolidation of lodges and Masonic districts as they shrink in size. Why are we seeing Masonic districts comprised of 15 to 20 lodges 20 years ago with 5 now remaining? What makes a lodge of 40 plus members ask to turn in their charter? What causes a lodge that had 150 members 10 years ago to wither to 30 members today. Across every jurisdiction, we hear grand masters, district deputies, staff officers, and worshipful masters talking about the works on their trestle boards, how many trestle boards are distributed with the date of the meeting, followed by TBD for the work of the evening. To be decided, an acronym for beats me, I'll wing it, or we'll make it a business meeting only. Who among us has worked through the convenient hurdle as we watch our early evening TV or dine on an early dinner and decide it's time to get suited up and head down to the lodge, only to arrive, sit through an opening, business meeting, and closing, and be home and back at the TV within an hour? We then ask ourselves the question, why? A great many lodges have taken this to heart and are presenting interesting and diverse programming each meeting. Many others struggle to have one or two speakers or programs during their lodge year. Yes, it was good to see my brothers who, like me, came out tonight to attend lodge. We had plenty of time for a program of some sort, not even a short talk bulletin. Maybe Brother James talking about his beekeeping. Hey, what about asking the local precinct commander to come and speak about crime-fighting efforts in our neighborhood? So many possibilities. How do we make these happen? One very simple but underutilized word, planning. Interesting and engaging events seldom happen on their own. Sure, every now and then we'll look on the sidelines and see a brother who has a particular skill or vocation that we could ask him to speak about, off the cuff. As worshipful masters, we owe it to the brothers who have elected us and to the lodge as a whole to do everything in our power to see the lodge not just survive, but to thrive and grow. To do this, we need to exert a certain amount of effort. This effort may involve everything from putting together a trestle board during the summer before our lodge comes back in session to personally calling our officers the day before a meeting to let them know the plans for the evening and to gently remind them of the importance of their attendance. Perhaps a summer meeting with the wardens to put together a trestle board and to brainstorm about programs for evenings with no degree work. Of course, we sometimes hear comments from some long-time members saying things such as, "We don't need to do something special every meeting," or "Some of us just like to have a meeting and get home." The brothers we don't hear this from are the ones who are so bored with the programless meetings that they stop coming to lodge in lieu of other options. These are the brothers we need to target. They are the future of our fraternity. They are the ones who will take the place of our senior members as infirmity and the celestial heavens take over. Keeping our meetings vibrant, contemporary, and interesting is vital if we are to keep our new and seasoned members engaged. Being now enabled in the New York jurisdiction to open and close our lodges on any degree has become a wonderful tool to maintain the connection with our entered apprentices and fellow crafts as they progress through the degrees. Keeping our regular communications interesting is a mandate we need to understand and to put into practice if we are to stem the flow of those leaving us because we've become boring. No more reruns. What could be easier? Right Worshipful Dan Lort is a past master of Alexandria Lodge No. 297 in Alexandria Bay, New York, and a plural member of Gasport Lodge 787. He's also a member of the Grand Lodge Committee on Consolidations, as well as several other Grand Lodge committees. Of course, he's a 32nd degree member of the Scottish Rite Valley of Syracuse, and he serves as chaplain for the Sackett's Harbor Chapter of Royal Arch Masons. He's a member of the Divan of the Media Shrine, and he's also a past District Deputy Grand Master. So the guy has definitely been around the block. He's seen some things. He's seen what works. He's seen what doesn't. And sometimes we should probably hear from these guys a little more often because they travel around, they see things. I was a district deputy grandmaster. I went around, I saw things, horrendous things. I saw wonderful things. But the best part about all this is it enables us to kind of look at it all and see what works, and we can come up with best practices and share those. So if a district deputy tells you, you know, that he's seen some things work in some lodges around the district, whether you're a lodge guy and you just need some advice, or maybe you're a Grand Lodge guy, but sometimes Grand Lodge guys don't like to hear from anybody but other Grand Lodge guys, whether they're in the same jurisdiction or not. And I think that's kind of a mistake. So if we're Grand Lodge people and we hear from our deputies some things that are working, we should take that into consideration, or at least I would hope our Grand Lodges do. But I think we're doing some great and wonderful things, and just wanted to thank Brother Dan Lort, Right Worshipful Brother Dan Lort, for this great piece and call to action. Sometimes we need that. Now comes the point in the show where I ask you to help support this show. How do we do that? Well, we have a bunch of different ways to do that today. If you head on over to WCYpodcast.com, you can click on direct donation through PayPal, which we briefly touched on in the beginning of the program. Of course, you can make that one-time donation, or you can sign up to be a monthly contributor. Contributing $2 a month, $5, or even $10 a month, whatever you choose, really helps the program out. Of course, we have a limited edition shop where you can pick up any number of items that come direct from us. Help us out by going to MasonicRevival.com. But also, we have some other affiliates that are really important. Banker's Best, one of the most unique things we've ever done, is to work with Brother Levi Banker out of St. Louis, who owns his own company called Banker's Best Beard and Skincare. He's been so generous. If you head to WCYpodcast.com, click on More, then click on Banker's Best, and you can check out a bunch of the different products he's got. He's got a whole line of beard care products, skin care, oils, balms, all of this stuff, and he has been doing it a long time. He knows a lot about it. Everything is handmade, quality items. We even came up with the King Solomon's Reserve Beard Balm, which is a few years old now, but remains one of the great products that he still offers. Even the artwork on the bottle was done by a brother. The nice thing about this particular product is 50% of the proceeds come back to the program. If you're a history guy like me, then you'll be pleased to know that what makes the beard oil and balm very special is that it was made utilizing the fragrances specific to the exports of King Solomon's time and location, which is amazing. So black fig and honey is the formula. Luxurious scent, as Levi says, truly fit for our first Grand Master. If you use the promo code BBWCY357 at checkout, you'll also get a little bit of a percentage off. Please check that out. Banker's Best, or just head on over to buybankersbest.com. We also have a code with On It. You can go to our website, click on More, then go to On It, and you can click through any of the links here, or just go to onit.com and use the promo code WCY at checkout. You'll get 10% off, and they'll send a little bit back to the program to help us out. And of course, it's business time. The book that I wrote with John T. Ruark, it is making some real waves, and people are using it and seeing success. So check that out on Amazon. You can click right to it. You can get it on Audible, Kindle, or in print, even on iBooks. And last but not least, I want to ask you to check out the Great Books program. You'll see the banner for it on the left-hand side, Intellectual Linear Progression. Use the promo code WCY, or you can just click on that link there, and you'll actually go right to the website and hear a little bit from Scott Hambrick about how awesome the program is. So that's it. I hope you guys enjoy, and thank you so much for helping us out. I received this week my Trowel magazine, which is the Grand Lodge of Massachusetts Masonic magazine, and I have to give a shout out to Ezekiel Bates, who actually won one of the 2019 Golden Gavel winners. Ezekiel Bates Lodge won for MasonicCon. It's the best Masonic service program. So huge shout out to Ezekiel Bates, where I am a member. I became a member after I saw the great works that they were doing, and I wanted to be a part of that. Even when I can't be there in person, I really strongly support that lodge. So to all my Ezekiel Bates brothers, Brian Simmons, who started MasonicCon, and Aaron Chauncey, and all the guys out there who worked tirelessly for this, you guys are awesome. So congratulations on that. In addition, on the back cover of the magazine, the Grand Master's Cruise, Boston to Bermuda, August 9 through 16, 2019. I saw this and I thought, holy cow, that's really cool. I've not quite seen anything like that before, so I think that's neat. I showed my wife. She showed some interest, so we'll see how that goes. Maybe we can make that happen, but nonetheless, kind of a cool thing, a little bit different. Anyway, that's it for this week. I hope you guys all enjoyed the episode. I have to give a special shout out to Kadisha Lodge in Lebanon for having me give a presentation. It was an absolute pleasure to be able to present for you. The Lodge brothers were so outstanding and had wonderful questions and actually gave me some further inspiration to dive into a couple other areas that I just hadn't thought of. Talk about your cognizant and awake brothers when it comes to esoteric talk. We talked about the Word. The presentation is called The Word and the Tetragrammaton. And I just want to say thank you once more to Kadisha Lodge for such a wonderful experience. If you like Masonic podcasts, please consider checking out the Masonic Roundtable. We go live every Thursday at 9:30, 8:30 Central. Midnight Freemasons, 3 articles every week, guys, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays for the wonderful content of our great contributors who give us some perspective, their perspective, of course, every week. And with that, we'll talk to you guys all next week. Until then, stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson. Take care.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.